All right, well, let's go ahead. We're going to open in prayer, okay? We're going to go ahead and get started because it is 9:30. So, Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we worship you. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving. This is healing class, and we declare right now we are healed already in the name of Jesus. We come to learn of you and the faith that we receive by faith what you have already done for us. So in Jesus' name, be with us, Lord. Let your spirit, Lord, just penetrate hearts this morning. Let your spirit, Jesus, just reveal truth this morning. And Lord, we come, Lord, with open hearts and open minds, ready to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, what we're going to do is the name of this class, this is going to be like a part two.
Okay.
I don't know if you were in my last healing class that I did, but the name of it was His Grace is Sufficient. That was last month. And going through and praying about healing class this morning, I could not get away from the very same thing, His Grace is Sufficient. And the Lord has taken me back into some of the same things that I was looking at previously. And I says, well, Lord, it has to be Him because I could not get away from it. So what I want to do first is, you know, grace, if you was to describe grace, what would be a good definition of grace?
Peaceful?
Yes, it is. It's peaceful. Grace is peace. Grace is favor. Mm-hmm. It's all of those things. But, and I know that even this definition of grace will still not do it justice because grace is so deep and so overwhelming that I don't know if our human minds can fully grasp it. But I tried to come up with a definition of grace, and this is what I came up with. God's help. Grace is God's help that is given to man because of His willingness and His desire for us to have it. Knowing that we can do nothing to earn it and we do not deserve it. Grace is love. Grace is God's help for us. In whatever need, whatever area it is, He gives us grace. So when we say His grace is sufficient, His grace is complete. It's enough. It's everything that we need. And we know if we go over to Book of John, John chapter 1, John did not go through genealogies of, you know, Jesus' birth records, but he spoke of the eternal spirit and who Jesus is in the spirit. But John chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So when we talk about grace, we know we're talking about Jesus. And I'd even like to say that grace is a person. When we say healing is a person, salvation is a person, because the name Yeshua from the Old Testament means salvation. The word salvation in the Old Testament is the word Yeshua, which really is the name Jesus. So salvation is a person, healing is a person, grace is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. But it says that the law came through Moses. And it came through Moses because Moses represented the law, right? God gave it to him. He dictated to him all this law. He gave this all to him. And he said, so Moses, you know, represents the law. But Jesus represents grace because he fulfilled the law. He says, I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. So all the law really was looking towards Jesus and who Jesus would be in this earth and how we would receive him. And he would fulfill every jot and tittle, every little grammatical mark, everything would be fulfilled in Jesus. So it's no longer anything that we can do, but it's everything that Jesus has done. Everything. So we receive it all by faith. Come on in.
Hi.
Come on into healing class. We're talking about grace this morning.
All right.
Great. Amen. We just went through John 1:17 where it says that grace and or The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And if Moses was the representative of the law, Jesus is the representative of grace because he fulfilled the law. Everything has been fulfilled. He's done everything that he could ever do. Nothing more can Jesus do.
Absolutely.
It's all done. Now it's up to us by faith to receive it. By faith. And grace, I said, is a person.
Yes.
So when the grace of God is Jesus Christ. He is grace. I mean, the way we get saved is by grace, right? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith. So faith receives what grace has done. So healing has been provided because Jesus fulfilled the law. It's all been fulfilled. He is grace. He is healing. So now by faith we receive it. By faith. But the name of this class, as I had already stated, is His Grace is Sufficient. I did this the last time and I couldn't get away with it. It's the same title. This is part two.
Okay, great.
Part two, His Grace is Sufficient, because we need to grasp grace. We need to get a hold of grace. What grace has done for us. So we're saved by faith through grace. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. We're saved by grace through faith. Right? Not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast or say, look at all the great things I've done. I've earned it. No, you can't earn it. So anything we receive from God is through faith in Christ Jesus. We are non-sufficient in ourselves.
Well.
Yeah, but His grace is sufficient.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what we're looking at. So this is part two. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 7. I have not been able to get away from the centurion. So Luke chapter 7, we're still talking about the centurion who came to Jesus or sent somebody to Jesus and asked him if he would please come and heal his servant. He had a servant that was very dear, very valuable to him. And this servant was paralyzed. He was in great pain. And good morning, John. And he was paralyzed. He was in great pain. And he was at the point of death. His only hope was Jesus Christ. Good morning. His only hope was that he could do something other than what he has already tried. I'm sure him being a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion, he held a lot of power. I'm sure he got paid a very good wage. And I'm sure that he exhausted his funds trying to help this one that he loved so dearly, just like the woman with the issue of blood who exhausted all of her funds, and she had grew no better, but she grew worse. Her money's gone. She's still ill. For 12 years, she's been going through this. I'm sure this man had done some of the same things. We need to get him some help. He's paralyzed. We don't know what happened to him, just that he's paralyzed. He can't move, but he's in great pain. And right now, he's at the point of death. So something took place in this man's life. But this man says, went to the Jewish elders. And he says, can you have asked Jesus to come to my house and heal my servant because he's valuable to me? So Jesus went. You know, he's this man is in Capernaum. That's where Jesus relocated to. It's where he lives. So he's went. He's going to go to this man's house. Well, before he gets there, we're going to read a little bit more of this. The man says, and I just want to, before I get into what I want to bring this week, I just want a little recap of what this man said. In Luke chapter 7, verse 6, he says, then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. That word worthy means I'm not sufficient. I'm not good enough. And remember, His grace is sufficient. But this man says, I am not sufficient. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy for you to come or that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, deserving. That word worthy there means deserving. I'm not deserving. I'm not good enough. I haven't pleased you, I haven't served you, I haven't done enough, so therefore I'm not deserving. You can't come into my house. This is how this man was looking at it. And I know that a lot of us have felt like that. I failed. You know, I didn't do enough, so I'm not deserving to ask God of this gift of healing. But one thing this man had going for him, he understood a very important principle. He may not have felt and invited Jesus into his house, because it says he sent others to tell him not to come to his house, but he understood a principle with Jesus, really. He marveled at it. He looks and he tells the Lord, he says, "Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes; to another, come, and he comes; and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well, who had been sick. Jesus agreed to come. The man says, "No, don't come." But he sent his word, because this man had an understanding of authority. He understood authority. He understood the authority of the spoken word. It's a natural principle that we see in the earth, and really, he understood what delegated authority. His authority came from Rome, right? Caesar gave him authority. And he says, "And whatever you do, you have my backing." Caesar is saying, "You have my backing, Kim."
I used to feel that way because I didn't want to be let down again. I was constantly let down all my life. And I couldn't see through that.
Right.
Negativity.
Yes. No, I understand. I do. I really do. I because I live that way too. But the reason I named this class His Grace is Sufficient, Part 2, is because His grace is what makes us sufficient to receive. It's His grace. It's not us. We have to completely get our eyes off of ourselves. And we live with ourselves, and we know our weaknesses. We know our thoughts. I had to confess this morning, "Lord, I'm thinking that again." You know, but we can't not continue to look at ourselves. We have to always continually look at Him. And we're going to see some beautiful verses that are going to just explain that and how beautiful the grace of God really is in our life. It's just, it's beyond words to explain.
And I think it's easy to hear the doubts coming from being tempted by the enemy.
Yep.
Too, when we're in ourselves.
Yes.
It's easier.
Well,
especially if you've done it to yourself. Like, I've had some problems where it's my fault that this has happened, because of all the years that I abused, you know, certain
right.
things, so I did it to myself. So then you feel like you're not worthy,
yeah.
you know, to receive right. because you did it to yourself.
Right, right.
And that's not true.
No, it's not true.
What she's saying is the truth.
It's not true, because when Jesus came into our life, everything changed just like that. Mm. We might still have the same memory, but in our spirit man, we are not the same person. We are a completely brand new creation.
Praise God.
In Christ, right?
Away.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Mm-hmm. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things are new. That means wherever that spirit man is inside of there, he looks just like we do. But our spirit man is brand new. And our spirit man is so alive to God. And that's how we receive. We receive in our spirit the things that God has already done for us. Through His grace, we receive it by faith. His grace is sufficient for every need, whether it's a bad thought, whether it's getting rid of that guilt from a bad thought, This is healing school, healing class. He has provided healing for us. We receive it by faith through the grace that he has given to us. If we can, we cannot look at ourselves. This man understood authority. He understood the authority. He's an outsider. He's not a Jew. He's a Roman. He's a Gentile. He's not been raised up and brought up in the Jewish law to think the things of God and the oracles of God and the law of Moses. He has an understanding of it because he lives in Capernaum, and they're occupying, you know, Jewish lands right now. But he understands one great principle, which Jesus marveled at. He understands authority. And when you say a word, he says, when I say go, they go. When I say come, they come. Because if they don't, they know that they're in trouble, because Rome has my back. Well, who are we in Christ? In Christ, we have been born again, and we carry the authority of Jesus Christ within us. He's our backing. And so we need to realize and not look at ourselves that when we say, you know, evil spirit, go, it has to obey, because it's not us doing it. It's the power of God when we're looking at who our source is. We have to look at who our source is. We have the backing of heaven. Like this man had the backing of Rome, we have the backing of all of heaven. God Almighty, creator of the universe, is our support. He's our source. So when we speak those things, we're not doing it of ourselves and thinking, well, I hope this works. And I know we've been there. I hope this works. Hope in the Bible is expectation. Not hope that we have in the world. Like, maybe, will it happen? You know, no, hope. Our hope is we expect it to happen. And we have to live like that. We got to get our minds wrapped around that. We have to live like that, that when we say, I am healed, I'm healed. When we're speaking against, you know, something, you know, that has come against us, maybe it's something at work, maybe it's an enemy. When we speak, people are not our enemies. We got to remember that. People are not our enemy. Satan manipulates and uses people, but the source we go to when we say you shall not is evil. It's Satan himself. That's the source that has to obey the word of God that we speak, because we are backed by heaven. Because Jesus Christ lives within us.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. When it comes to healing, his grace is sufficient for our healing. When we look at these issues that are going on in our bodies, high blood pressure, you know, other things that, you know, may be going on in our bodies, maybe diabetes, you know, heart disease. When we start looking and saying high blood pressure, we give it a number. But we say high blood pressure in the name of Jesus, you come down into normal limits. But you speak that word in faith. You speak it in faith, knowing that it's not you that does it. You're just the oracle that the presence of God comes through. It's the authority of the word of God that you're speaking out. The word has to be spoken. It has to be spoken. This centurion had to communicate with words. They had to know what to do through his words, through his direction. Our bodies respond to the word of God. When we responded to salvation and we gave ourselves to the Lord, it was because we heard the word. We heard it, the word, the gospel was spoken, our ears heard it, and we responded to it. And we gave our lives to Jesus. When it comes to healing, it's the same thing. We take all that grace is provided, because his grace is sufficient for every need. And we speak that in faith, knowing that it's done. And I know sometimes we say, well, it didn't happen right away. It's still done. You keep speaking it. You keep speaking it. You don't get your focus off. Your focus is your diligence in staying focused on that thing that you have purpose to see. When you purpose to see something happen, keep your focus on it.
It's got kind of a test, isn't it?
It is a test. But are you going to be diligent? Are you going to stand firm when everything around you is saying, oh, no. When you can stand firm on his word because his word is truth. He is, the Lord sent Jesus Christ who is full of grace and truth. So he is our grace, he is our truth, and every word that he spoke is true. So Jesus complimented this man and he said, he called his authority, you know what he said? He said, this is great faith. When you understand authority, you're living in faith. You're just walking in faith because you trust that what you say is going to happen. That's faith. You believe it. So when you use the authority that Jesus Christ has given you and you use his word, that is faith in what he has said. I believe that's true. I believe it's true. And you walk in it. You walk in it. You live it.
You just can't be double-minded.
Be single-minded. Keep your eye on Jesus alone. Double-mindedness means you're in doubt and you're wavy. You're here, you're there. You're here, you're there, like waves coming in and crashing. And it's doubt. Double-mindedness is doubt, is what it is. I spoke it, but I doubt. No, you can't do that. Make up your mind. I was told that a long time ago by something I really respect, or really respected, a person. Make up your mind. And once you make up your mind, you stick with it and you don't waver. Once you make up your mind, you're determined. So that's what we got to do. So let's go a little bit farther in this. Remember, this is His Grace is Sufficient Part 2. Part 2. So what we're going to do is go to 2 Corinthians. Okay? Now we've established something already, that this man understood authority. And Jesus sent His word and healed His servant. He didn't go personally and lay hands on him. He sent the word. He spoke it, and it was done. The man's servant was healed. 2 Corinthians. Does anybody know the verse? Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them. And delivered them from all of their destructions. He sent his word. He's already sent his word. We know who the word is. The word is a person. Mm-hmm. Just like grace is a person. The word is Jesus. He is the word who was with God in the beginning. He sent him into this earth to reveal the power of God and reveal the spirit and the presence of God, to reveal the will of God. And it's his will that not only are we born again, but with all of that comes, we're healed. We're delivered from all of our destructions. So he sent his word and healed them. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3. His grace is sufficient, right?
Yes.
Chapter 3, verse 5. This is Paul speaking. Paul says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. He made us able to do this. Not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. We started out saying the law came by Moses, that's the letter, but grace came by Jesus Christ, and that is the spirit of life. So Paul is just confirming here. He started out in this chapter talking about, are we going to praise ourselves? He's talking to these Corinthians. Are we going to praise ourselves? Or are we going to bring a letter from somebody else that is talking about our great qualifications, our boasting? Are we going to do that? He says, no, you're the letter that people can read because of what the gospel that we have preached to you has done in you. We see the results. They see the results. You're the letter. You're the only commendation that we need. It's because we have seen and people have seen what the word that we have preached has done in your life. You are a different person. You have been made new by the power of God. So he says, and then he starts saying that we're not sufficient to do this of ourselves. Our sufficiency comes from God. Everything we have told you, it's the power of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, right? For it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the word that we speak that brings the fruit in our life and the fruit in others. We see the results of the word of God. So his grace that we have received is sufficient. It's not ourself. Can everybody see that and grab an understanding of that? That you're not preaching your own word. It's not my word. This is his word. When I speak it, I speak as the very word of God. I know that's a lot to take in sometime. Well, I'm only human. Jesus was human. He did all this as a man. He's fully God, yes, but fully man. He did everything he did as a man. Because the backing of heaven was a part of him. We are human beings, but who lives within us?
He does.
He does. And he's given us his spirit. So heavenly things are within us. The heavenly presence of Almighty God is within us. So when we speak, we don't speak of ourselves. We speak as the word of God. You're looking like, we're just getting beyond who we are, and we're looking at the manifested presence of Jesus Christ within us and releasing the Holy Spirit and releasing his word and allowing the grace that is sufficient to do the work in people's lives. That's what we're doing. Just like Paul did, just like Peter did, just like John did, just like all those disciples did, just like we do. When we say be healed, it's not our word, it's his word. We're just taking what he gave us.
Amen.
Okay? Sufficient means we're adequate. He made us adequate. He made us able ministers. How did he do that?
He put his spirit.
Yeah. He put himself. We're called by his name now. So that's how come we are able ministers. So we just need to look and say, you know what? I can't cast out a devil. But the Jesus in me can. Because I carry that authority. So when we place ourselves in his presence, because that's where we live, he lives inside of us, we get past our own minds and we get past ourselves and we say, Jesus Christ lives inside of me. I like what Marilyn Hickey always says, Jesus Christ lives big in me. He's big in me. He fills ourselves up from top to bottom. He looks like you and me. Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
When people look at us, they're supposed to see Jesus because that's what comes out of our life, out of our mouth. Mm-hmm. So Isaiah chapter 55, let's go there. Remember, he has made us sufficient ministers, sufficient to minister this word just like he did for Paul. Paul said, we're not able of ourselves to do it. Think of where Paul came from. Paul was a murderer. Paul jailed people. He was one mean guy. He was. If you think about it, Paul was a really mean guy. He hated Christians. He hated them. And he thought he was doing a really good thing by destroying that movement. He thought this is the right thing to do. Because they're upsetting everything and they're taking our precious law and they're saying it doesn't matter. That something else, that this man that came has fulfilled all of that. So he was putting people in jail. And he didn't cry over it. He actually rejoiced over it. And he actually had real letters that gave him the authority to do that. So he had the authority of Israel to do that, right? Of the Jewish elders in the Sanhedrin. He had authority. And he was using his authority and doing what he thought he should be doing. But God intercepted one day and revealed himself. Jesus is Paul. Saul, what are you doing? And it changed his life. He had a real experience with Jesus Christ. And now he's taking what the Lord has put within him. And now he's promoting this gospel. And Paul is seeing miracles and healings, and he's seeing the gospel message go out and people are being saved. But he's seeing healings take place, which we're not going to get into a lot of those today. That's next week. We're going to see what Paul really did with this sufficiency and this ability that God gave him through grace, because his grace is what made him sufficient. So Isaiah 55. Jesus sent his word, right? He sent the word, and the centurion's servant was healed. And we established that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions in Psalm 107. So Isaiah 55, we're going to read verse 10 and 11. It says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." When the Lord sends his word, he has purpose in mind. When the Lord spoke anything, for instance, in creation, he had something in mind, and there was a purpose that was in mind when he created the earth. He said, "Let there be," and it became. He had a purpose. When the Lord spoke, and he says, for that centurion, he says, "Go your way. It's done." It was done. His word has purpose. So when we have the word of God in our mouth, we have to know the purpose of it. We have to know that there is a purpose in it, and when we speak it, we have to have the faith that it will be accomplished. Just like this word says. It says, "For as the rain," so as God sends the rain, his purpose in sending the rain was to water the earth. It's going to bring forth crops. It's going to bring forth, you know, the trees are going to flower. The flowers are going to come up, and, you know, the crops are going to come up, and you're going to have food. And it's going to be more seed for you. So he has purpose in sending the rain. There's a purpose in it. And it says it doesn't return to him without doing what it accomplished. We know there's an evaporation, and it goes back up into the clouds again, and it comes back down. But there's purpose in it. There's a purpose. And it doesn't go back empty-handed without performing what it was purposed to do. So he says, "So shall my word be." We have this word. We got to look at it, not just God speaking it, but he gave us this word that we can possess ourselves. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." We are now the mouthpieces of Jesus. Do we say the gospel? Do we preach the gospel? We do. Do we say unto, you know, the devil, "You cannot, you had a good lesson when you said that snake is not going to live in my house." Or, you know, "That mouse is not going to live in my house." You said it out of your mouth, and you're going to declare that it's not going to be so. And that's what we do when we preach the gospel message, and especially healing. You will not live in this temple. Cancer, you will not live in this temple. And we trust that when we speak that word that it goes forth, it's not going to return without accomplishing. It's going to accomplish exactly what we said it's going to accomplish. Healing is going to manifest. Amen. Cancer cells are going to die. We have to live like that and think that way. Even if you don't feel like it, you've got to think that way, because it's not feelings, it's faith. Amen. We cannot go by feelings. Our feelings are going to say, "Oh, so-and-so didn't talk to you today. They passed you right by. I wonder if they are, you know, mad at me." Those are feelings, and those are, you know, judgments in our own mind. We need to keep our, like you said, single-minded. Get our eye fixed on what we are speaking. It says, "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please." Determine it's going to accomplish what you please or what you desire. I want to see this. I am determined it's going to happen. With our kids, when we're praying for our grandchildren, you know this, Nona, so do I. "Devil, you are not going to have my grandchild. You're not going to have my granddaughter, my grandson. You're not going to have them. They belong to Jesus, so get your hands off. I forbid that you will deceive them. And we trust that the word, because it's the word of God that's going forth out of our mouth. Yes, I know people have free will, but you keep speaking that. Keep speaking that and keep praying what you want to see, that determined purpose over your children and over your bodies. Keep speaking it and by faith believe that it will come to pass.
Amen.
That's how we have to live. That's what faith is. That's how faith works. If I say to that mountain, be cast into the sea, and I doubt not, it's going to happen. The thing that I said is going to happen, right? We'll have to go there in a minute. But it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So when his word goes forth in purpose, it doesn't go back to God and not accomplish the purpose. Oh, I got to take that word back now because it didn't happen. That's not how God does things. When he speaks, it takes place. It takes place. And if we are representatives and he is our authority in our life, like the Roman centurion had Rome as his authority, then we have to believe that what we speak is going to take place. And live that way in faith, believing. 2 Corinthians 6:1. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Oh, that's Colossians. That's not Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:1. I love this verse. This verse just kind of came alive the other night. It says, when we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Is this the one I'm looking at? Yeah, not to receive the grace of God in vain or without any purpose or that it is empty. His grace is not in vain. When we receive the grace of God through salvation, we understand there is a purpose in it. And we got to receive the whole purpose of God. We have the right to receive the whole purpose of God. Salvation is big. It's forgiveness, yes. We're forgiven. We don't have to be separated from God for eternity. Salvation, the grace of God, has bought that for us. That's the reason Jesus died. But it also says, by his stripes we are healed. On the same cross, he bought our salvation for us. He healed our bodies. He delivered us from destruction. He took the pain. A crown of thorns was upon his head so that our minds can be free from evil thoughts. His feet were pierced so that our walk can be according to him. His hands were pierced so that we can touch people and see that they are healed. His heart was pierced so that we can have the heart of God and he dwells right here. His word can go from our head down into our heart. He did everything for us. So we need to take the whole gospel, not just part of it. When Israel was told to eat the lamb, they said, eat all of it. Not just part. Don't just pick the part that you want, but eat it all. Eat all of the lamb. And when at the Last Supper he says, drink all the cup, all of it. Not just a portion. So when we look at salvation, healing is a part of that. We have the whole, grace is a whole picture. It's a whole thing. And we can receive the whole thing. We don't have to live in misery.
We want the whole healing.
Everything. And even though maybe I got multiple things wrong with me, take one at a time. If it's too big, if it's too overwhelming, take one thing and see God manifest in that one area. And then go to the next. You know, it's like a child grows. They grow little by little. Mm-hmm. They do. They don't learn how to ride a bike the day they're born. You know, they're all they're doing is, I'm hungry. Feed me. You know, that's all. But they bring such joy, don't they? When we're born again, God has He's so joyful over us. He sings over us like we sing to our children. We're holding them and singing these love songs to them. He does that with us when we're born again. But we grow in the knowledge of the word. And as we grow and we have an understanding, we take those principles and we can apply them to our life. So yes, we're saved. Praise God, we're saved. Sozo. But that means we're healed. It means financially, he's provided for us. It means peace. He's given us peace. It means we're whole. He's made us a whole person in him because his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Right?
It's the whole thing.
So Mark 16, chapter 20, and we're going to wind this thing up in just one more minute here. And then if anyone needs prayer, we are going to pray. So don't receive the grace of God in vain. Don't let it rest, not accomplishing what he purposed for it to accomplish in your life. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. The disciples had an understanding of the gospel message. It says in Mark 16, 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now we're going to come back to that. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. They went out and they preached the gospel and they had signs that followed them. Now it says when the Lord working with them, that word right there, working with them, that phrase is the Greek word, I think it's synergio, which we get synergy. Synergy from, who knows what synergy is?
All things working together at the same time.
It is. But when you look at, when I looked at, that's part of it. And really that's a big part of it. But it's also, when we look at it on a little bit smaller level, it's two or more entities that come together for the same purpose. And they see that purpose fulfilled. So when synergy is, we're working with Jesus, he's working with us. It says the Lord working with them. The Lord brought forth the signs, but he had to use them to do it. Because he's not walking on the earth anymore. Right? He's not here. He's here in us. And he wants to see people set free. That's his desire, to see people set free and come to him. So we preach the gospel. But it's also his desire to see people healed, because before he died, he went forth and healed people, and he healed them all. He wanted to see people set free from the curse of sickness that had come against them. So if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, if you're a born-again Christian, healing is yours. It's yours. Jesus does not hold back, saying that you have to earn something. Grace means you don't earn it. You can't earn it. There's no way you can earn it. It's only through faith in him.
Amen.
And what he has done. That's the basic gospel that we live and that we work out. So synergy, even John 14, 12 says, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. I'm going back to heaven where my Father is. But you're going to do greater works because I'm sending the promise of the Spirit. It's the Father's promise and it's his promise. The Holy Spirit, which is his presence. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he's still here. He left for 10 days. Right? They seen him for 40 days after his resurrection. And then on the day of Pentecost, which would have been 10 days later. So for 10 days... they were, what are we going to do? And they were hiding. But they did what he said. They tarried until the power of the Holy Spirit came and invaded the earth, and it invaded them. They received the power of the Holy Spirit, which was the very presence of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And we have that.
Yes, we do.
You have that. You have that. You have that. You have that. I have that. We have the very presence of Jesus Christ. This should be exciting.
Yes.
If we focus on that, world gets in our way, the news gets in our way, we just turn it off. We have to turn it off. You know, things happen, we get phone calls, family members can get in our way, discouragement can come. We have to look at, wait a minute, If anybody knew discouragement, Jesus did. He understood it. He understood rejection, right? His family rejected him. Mm-hmm. His brothers mocked him. Mm-hmm. Until James really got radically saved, and then he wrote a book. So, you know.
A great book.
Yeah. So it's awesome. We are healed.
Yes.
Healing is already done. He did it 2,000 years ago on that cross by his stripes. We are healed. So we receive it. When we receive salvation, we're healed. But we work together with him. The synergy of the Holy Spirit, God working with us, sending the word, speaking the word, understanding authority, that is the efficiency of grace.
Praise God.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus, you are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for what you provided for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that we open up our minds and our hearts to this and we begin to walk in boldness, making declaration of the word of God, knowing who we are in you, that we are not sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency, like Paul said, is of you. So we thank you for it and walk in it right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hallelujah.